Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. Dustin, we missed you last week. You're busy off following tourney basketball.
Yeah, it was fun, and I got to say that Purdue was slotted in the Midwest Regional, but they were off to Providence. So that was really, now I've been to DC once, but that was really my first trip up to the East Coast. So I had to try some of the Italian food, had to try the seafood, and everything was very good. And it was a great trip. Obviously Purdue won, so that means we get another week of me covering and kind of traveling around a little bit, but it was an interesting experience. And like I said, I had never been to the East Coast outside of like a 3 or 4 day trip to DC many years ago. So it was I didn't know what to expect, but it was a really good time.
You know, I really admire and appreciate you, Dustin, that you start out the conversation about your tournament experience with food.
Yes, that's the top priority, Jim.
I admire that. I'm with you on that. I am glad that you went there. Now, is this your first experience with tournament basketball?
Yes. So I have been to done the Big Ten tournament before, but this was my first March Madness experience. And I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here, but I will just say, so for the most part, you get like a courtside seat to cover these games. You know, there's sometimes if there's too much media, you might spill over and sit in the upper deck. I'm one of those people, Jim, I don't care. I'm just happy to get a seat, right? I think it's great that I just get to cover it. But being on the court, I was in front of, in the first game Purdue played, 13 seed High Point. I was in front of High Point's like student section, and they had flown up like 250 students or something. There were a ton of High Point fans there. I've covered a lot of games in Assembly Hall in Indiana, Mackey Arena at Purdue. The intensity, you can like feel it. You can feel the winner go home type of pressure. Like I could feel it just sitting there on the court. And so every play is magnified. So I can't even imagine like what these players and coaches are going through who actually have to play in the game, right? Like probably at a certain point, it just becomes basketball to them. They're just playing the game again. But I tell you what, like for the entire 40 minutes, it was just pressure filled, jam packed. It was so much fun. It was an experience that I've covered Purdue IU games. I've covered top 10 games, Purdue Alabama earlier this year. I don't know if I've ever felt that sort of like just that level of intensity. It's I don't even know how to describe it, but being in that atmosphere was crazy.
Well, that winner go home atmosphere, I think, is what makes March Madness. You know, it's probably the greatest sporting event out there. Okay. And you mentioned you figure the players at some point it becomes just basketball to them. I'm not sure it does. I suspect if you're, you know, the favorite, which there always is, a higher seed, lower seed, you know, you're expected to win. And maybe it's the first half of the game. Maybe there's plenty of time. But I suspect you look up at the scoreboard and you're down 2 points and it's only midway through the first half. You start to think, what's going on here? You know, we have to win. This is not, you know, December basketball.
Yeah, I think there is that sort of magnitude, but it's kind of like one of those things where I think when you're in it, you almost can't focus on it. You know, you're running up and down the court, you're playing defense. I think during those breaks, you're very correct. I think when you look up at the scoreboard, there was a point in time when Purdue led 59-50, and then all of a sudden High Point hit a couple threes and it's 56-59. And I think the Purdue guys were starting to sweat a little bit. Now they were able to pull it through, but just that intent, like I can't even describe the feeling that you had when I was sitting there, just kind of watching that whole thing unwind and unravel. It's very easy to see, like you could tell at least to me, you could tell that High Point was almost playing with nothing to lose and that Purdue knew it was the favorite. Now, eventually, Purdue did what it was supposed to do, and the two guys kind of dominated, Trey Kaufman-Wren and Braden Smith, and they took that game over when they needed to, and other players stepped up in a big way. But it's just it's such a different kind of atmosphere. Like, it's easy to see how the upsets happen, in my opinion, because that High Point team was playing just with free and happy to be there and nothing to lose for about 34 minutes. And then after that's when the depth, the strength and the talent just kind of pulled away there in the final 6-7 minutes.
Reality sets in. Well, I'm telling you, I think that the pressure is felt in my pool. Okay. I've got Duke. Okay. I went chalk. I have Duke winning it. I have Duke, Florida, you know, in the final. I think both those teams are just really, really good. I think Duke is the best team. They're fantastic. So much talent, well-coached, discipline, everything. Well, Duke's playing Baylor, and I swear to God, it's like 8 to 10 minutes into the game, and it's close. I'm getting nervous, okay? And all I'm talking about is, you know, a $10 pull. So I can imagine if you're a player. Now, I did want to share also with you, you talk about this is your first tournament experience, first opportunity to go. I don't think I've ever told this story on the air before. And maybe you're too young to remember this. Do you know historically the shot, Grant Hill throwing the pass to Christian Laettner? Do you know where that game was played?
I don't know where it was played.
It was played at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, and this was 1992. I lived in Philadelphia at the time, okay? And my best friend that week comes up to me and says, Jim, you're going to love me. I got us tickets for the game Saturday night. This is the East Regional Final. Duke and Kentucky are involved. Now, this is prior to the round, you know, the Thursday night games, but you kind of figure it's going to be Duke-Kentucky. Rick Pitino is coaching Kentucky at the time, Coach K at Duke, and I got a ticket to go, and it's local. However,
oh boy,
I had asked a girl out. First date, first time for that Saturday night. So I'm going to place this question to you. Recently engaged, Dustin, okay? You've just asked this girl out for the first time for that Saturday night, and your buddy comes up to you with a ticket for the game. What do you do?
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough, tough, tough question. Okay, so I'm thinking back to the time. Now, did you know this girl? Like, did you know her prior, or was it just like you kind of met and asked her on a date?
We knew each other a little bit. We actually met at an adult co-ed volleyball. Okay.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's how I met her. So I didn't know her really well, you know, just sort of chatted a bit there, asked her out.
I think what I would have done, this is going to sound terrible. I think I would have pretended to be sick or forgot I had some sort of other engagement and probably would have went to the game and tried to reschedule the date.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, Jim, is because now I probably wouldn't have done that. But back in when you couldn't be tracked with, you know, on social media or text messages, all that stuff. I think back then you could have gotten away with it by just calling and saying, I'm really sorry. I came down with something. Don't want to give it to you. Could we reschedule for later in the week or next week by chance?
Dustin, I am going to make a request of you. I am going to request that you share that with your fiance. Okay. What you would have done. So here now you're ready to hear how the story unfolded.
Yes.
I'm like torn like any guy would be. And I'm like, oh, man. And you know what? I was 32 years old at the time. So I wasn't like 19. I was an adult. And I said, you know what? Be an adult here. Man up. you know what? I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be like Dustin.
That's fair.
So we go out on the date. And of course, ahead of time, you're not aware that it's going to be an all-time game. We go out, and eventually we end up at a bar, and the game is on the TV, the last half minute of the game. So I'm like looking over her shoulder watching the end of this game, thinking, oh my goodness, I could have been there. Okay. Now, just for those who don't remember watching the game, I mean, it was high school. It was like 95-95, I think, at the end of regulation, goes into overtime. Kentucky hits a late basket to go ahead by a point. So it's like 103-102. It's that kind of game. 2 seconds left, and Duke has the ball now out of bounds. They, of course, call timeout. Grant Hill throws a pass almost length of the court to, like, the foul line is where Leitner catches the ball. Turnaround jumper makes it at the buzzer. Duke wins perhaps the greatest game in NCAA tournament history. And I could have been there. And I chose not to. Okay. So this is happening. And like my face at the, this makes for a great podcast and radio. I'll give you my face at the time. It's like,
yes.
I could have been there for this. Okay. And I chose not to. So I'm thinking, at the very least, Dustin, I can get brownie points for this. So she sees what's going on the game. And I said, you know, I had tickets to this game and I chose not to go so I could be out with you. Come on now, Dustin. Is that not impressive?
That's very impressive. Man, you're a better man than I am. I don't think I would have been able to handle that.
I'm thinking that is worth so many points, okay? So many points. I just gave up the greatest game in tournament history to be out with you. And you know what her response was, Dustin?
Oh, boy.
Her response was, oh, why didn't you say something? We could have just postponed and gone out next week.
See? My method paid off.
Yes, and this is 33 years ago, and I still haven't forgotten it. And Dustin, there's a postscript to the story I'll give you when we come back.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing. Built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte, Sports Illustrated, Big Ten sports writer. We are talking tournament basketball. Dustin, I was giving you not a bad story, right? 33 years ago, could have been there, the greatest NCAA tournament game. I chose not to go on a date. That was 33 years ago. I am still with that date.
Oh, it does have a happy ending then. That's good.
I'm still pissed about missing the game.
Do you hold on to that anytime there's a disagreement or an argument and say, you remember that time I passed up that game?
Well, here's how it works, okay? And this started, okay, that game was 33 years ago. 32 years ago, March Madness starts. Now, she is no kind of sports fan at all, okay? Over 30-some years, I've kind of trained her a bit. But at the time, no fan at all. Following year, tournament basketball. Of course, I'm on the couch watching. She's sitting next to me reading. And little to this day, I think they still do it in coverage. They will do, you know, if they show highlights from the past, they will show that highlight. Well, the first year after, they must show that highlight like before every game. Okay. So the highlight comes on, I turn and I punch her in the arm. Okay. And it's, she's like, what's that for? They just showed the highlight of the game that I missed. Well, that became an annual tradition in March where randomly, you know, the game's on, she's not paying attention, and I hit her. And she will start rubbing her arm because I punched her in the arm and then say, oh, is it March Hoopies again? And that's the way she phrases it. So, and she still doesn't like, I will tell that story to this day, and she does not like the story, Dustin.
I actually like the story. I think it's a good story. You manned up, and now you have something eternal to hang over her head. Isn't that what a strong relationship is always all about?
Having something to hold over their head.
Yeah.
And to this day, I still have not been to a tournament game. So.
Oh, well, you got to make it happen because I think next year maybe Philadelphia is, I don't know how far you are away from Philadelphia, but I think Philadelphia might be a host site for one of the rounds. I've already, let me rephrase this, Jim. I've looked out 4 years in advance, so it's one of the next 4 years of one of the rounds it will host.
Hopefully I'll be alive for the next 4 years. I'm about a little more, because the arena is in South Philadelphia, so it's like about 2 hours to get to Philadelphia. Add another 25 minutes or so to get south of the city. So that would be my drive. Definitely well worth it. By the way, the wrestling championships were in Philadelphia, so you can imagine Penn Staters flocked to that. But anyway, let's get off me missing the game. Let's talk about your experience. You said you were in Providence. You're going with Purdue. First of all, how does this work? Like in Providence, is it like there's eight teams there and they play Thursday and Friday? So and there's two games on Thursday, two on Friday. Is that how it works?
So they're all – it's basically like – I don't know if you've been to the Big Ten tournament. It's basically kind of like the Big Ten tournament. So there are eight teams there, and then they will all be the designated. So like everything's – in our case, it was Thursday, Saturday. Right. So every team plays Thursday, and then the winners will then play Saturday. There are no Friday, Sunday games in Providence. So you get, you know, on the Wednesday, there's an open practice and you get coach interviews. And then Thursday, you have basically a morning session with you have the first two or the not morning, early afternoon session where you get the first two games. And then about, you know, whatever the break is, half an hour to an hour, usually break. And then you get the evening session. So they clear out the arena in between. And then anybody that's got session two tickets or all session tickets can come back in. Friday's another practice slash interview day. And then Saturday's your second round games. And you have, and then it's just one session. So both games, one ticket would get you into both games. So in our case, we had, so there was Purdue and High Point, there was McNeese, Clemson. And then in the evening session was Arkansas, St. John's. No, I'm Ooh. Sorry. Arkansas. Who did they play in the first round? Now I'm forgetting. Arkansas, Kansas, and St. John's, Omaha.
Okay.
So this is a funny story about this, Jim. This is not the specifics. You had a good story. Here's my good story.
Okay.
So on Friday night, my colleague and I went out to dinner. He said, I got some recommendations from some of the locals when I was here on. He got in a day before me. So he said, I got some recommendations from the locals. They said, there's this really, really good Italian spot, Camille's. It's one of the best in town. Free pub, apparently, for Camille's, because I don't know how to not do that. So we go there. We're sitting there. There's a big table of about eight chairs. And they're bringing out these, what I would call like a charcuterie board. Basically there's different meats and cheeses and maybe some fruit on there, different things to try. We order our food. I'm just kind of keeping my eye on this table because Jim, I've seen the mafia movies, my friend, that's what's in my head. This is my first trip to the East Coast, right? I've seen these mob movies. So I'm just kind of keeping an eye on this table. We have delicious. I order the chicken parm and calamari. It's fantastic. My colleague orders chicken marsala and mussels. He says his is fantastic. About midway through the meal, I see a gentleman that I recognize go to this back table with his family, and it's John Calipari, who was the coach, obviously, at UMass for a while, then Kentucky, and now he's at Arkansas. And he's easy. He's obviously, you can spot him out. But if you can't, if you don't know what John Calipari looks like, he was also wearing an Arkansas quarter zip at the game, right? So my boss or my colleague walks over and shakes his hand and introduces himself. I stay at the table and we get ready to leave and we wish him well, you know, say, hey, good luck tomorrow when you play St. John's. And he said, thanks. I appreciate you guys. Have a good night. You know, kind of going about our day. We got back to the hotel about 7 o'clock and I decide that there's a brewery right next to the hotel. Like there is the hotel, there's some steps, and then there's a brewery. I said, I'll go down and have a couple beers and watch more March Hoopies.
That's going to become a thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So I said, I'll go down there. And so I sit at the bar and there's these three guys from, I think Boston they were from, and they were just kind of, you know, talking, chumming it up, talking about the game. They see on TV that these coaches are wearing, you know, these quarter zips. And earlier in the previous day, John Calipari was wearing a suit. So they're talking about, you know, did you guys see, you know, all these coaches now wear these quarter zips or these sweaters and sweatpants. And John Calipari's out there in a full suit. He looks like a mob guy. So me again, not knowing, you know, that East Coast kind of, I don't know if stereotype or narrative, like, just mind your business. Like they don't want you to. So I said, okay, I've had a couple beers, had some wine earlier tonight. I said, excuse me, gentlemen, may I interject here? And they said, sure, go ahead. I said, well, you guys talk about how John Calipari wears a suit on the sideline, right? And they said, yeah, it's he's one of the few that does it. I said, well, at dinner at one of the nicest restaurants in town, he was wearing his Arkansas quarter zip. I had snapped a photo. I showed him my phone. They take my phone. They're passing it around. They're like, hey, look, John Calipari wearing a quarter zip to Camille's and all this stuff. And so that kickstarted a conversation. And we talked for about college basketball for probably two and a half hours. And this, like, one of the guys there knew every – I would bring up a team name. He would name, like, five players on each. This guy knew everything there is to know about college basketball. So I want to thank Coach Calipari for wearing that quarter zip because it kickstarted a wonderful conversation at the bar about college – nothing but college basketball for about two and a half hours. But it was a really – that was one of my favorite moments of that whole trip. It's just like – you know, something that happened at dinner the night before, I just happened to like kind of sneak a picture to be like, hey, look, John Calipari's at dinner where I'm at, and send it to some of my friends and stuff. And, but it was a really good time. That was, that's when I realized, Jim, that the East Coast maybe gets a bad rap. Everybody was super friendly as long as you, like I said, everybody there was super nice to me. So, it was a very pleasant experience. And like I said, that 2 hour conversation was a lot of fun because we just talked nothing but basketball for 2 hours.
Well, I'll tell you what, your experience, I'm so appreciative that you got to the Northeast and you mentioned about stereotypes or narratives. One of my favorite sayings, Dustin, is stereotypes become stereotypes for a reason. Okay. Yeah. So, but the Northeast, it does get a bad rap because people, they seem to talk with an attitude, but Foxhole, they're the guys that you want with you, okay? As a guy whose name ends in a vowel. And I always joke, last name is Galante. I always talk about my Uncle Carmine. Look him up, okay?
Okay.
and you'll see the stories. And I still remember, growing up in a very ethnic town, ethnic area, my father and my grandmother telling stories from the era. Now, there wasn't any violence or any of that, but these are people who lived through Prohibition, okay? Yeah. Well, these are folks that are not going to go without alcohol. So
Totally understand that.
You know, again, people can't see us, but your eyes lit up when you said about the brewery next door to your hotel. Right. Are they not one of the especially the small ones, the low-key ones, are they not one of the most fun places to go?
It was so much fun. They had probably five or six beers that they brewed, I guess would be the word. I thought they were all fantastic. I didn't try each of them, but the two or three different ones that I had, they were all really, really good. So what they did very well. And it was, like I said, it was a really fun, unique experience.
Well, when I get you out here for a Penn State football game, I'll get you to my hometown, which is Berwick, and take you to the Berwick Brewery. So it's an old brick building that used to be a factory, you know, and even the whole atmosphere makes it worthwhile. All right, Dustin, you know what? That is going to be it for quarter number two. We filled up these first couple segments with stories. I hope the listeners could tolerate that. I've got a really crazy idea, though. Come next segment, how about we talk about some of the actual sports that's going on in the tournament? What do you think?
We can do that, I think.
I know it's a crazy idea, Dustin, but you know what? It just might work. We're going to do that when we come back.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten sports writer Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. Dustin, we got a bit sidetracked in the first half of the show going down some stories. Let's get back to basketball. Now, you're following the Purdue Boilermakers going through the tournament. They won their first two games, and they beat High Point in the first round, as I'm sure they were expected to do. But then they played McNeese in the second round. Now, McNeese was a 12 seed?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And every year, a 12 seed has to beat a 5 seed at least one time, right? But what that always does is it creates then for Purdue. Purdue gets to go to the Sweet 16 by beating High Point. I don't even know where High Point is. McNeese, I have no idea where McNeese is. You win those two games like you're supposed to, and you're in the Sweet 16, Dustin.
Yeah, a quick geography lesson. High Point is in North Carolina. McNeese is in Louisiana. So they were two Southern schools. But I think so. The interesting thing was a lot of people picked High Point to win that game. Like it was
really
the fact that Purdue won was considered a bracket buster. The fact that Purdue won, because there had been this narrative that they had lost. They always lose to a double digit seed under Matt Painter. Well, they had 3 years where 1 year they got to the Sweet 16 and lost to that St. Peter's team that got to the Elite Eight. And then they had two first round exits when they were a single seed, obviously one being when they were the number one seed. But that really has – they've been to the Sweet 16 more times than they've lost in the first round under Matt Painter. So the double-digit seed narrative is – it was basically kind of somewhat of a recent trend, but it's not like holistically. So anyway, that was part of it. And then – we were talking and somebody had asked me, like, how do you feel about Purdue playing McNeese? Because they were kind of this team that everybody thought if there's going to be a low seed that makes a deep run, it will be McNeese, primarily because of the way they play. Will Wade being a fantastic basketball coach, he's had a lot of success, and they had won, I I think they were like 22-1 or something like that since the turn of the calendar, the best record in college basketball since January. I don't remember specifically what it was, but I remember saying, like, I feel better that Purdue gets them in the second round than they do the first round. Cause I think sometimes, Jim, when you get those teams in the second round, they've used up all of their goodwill, all of their energy in that first round game. How many times do you see, whereas a Cinderella team upsets like a Kentucky or a Kansas or maybe even a Purdue or Michigan State, and then they get beat by 20 in the second round? That's exactly what happened. The game final score was 14 points, 76-62, but it was closer to a 30-point game. Like, Purdue got out to a quick start. They were up 14-6. All five starters had scored within the first, like, 7 minutes of the game. No, first media timeout. So it's just one of those where I think it's kind of like you said. Now, they had some scares in that High Point game, but for the most part, they did what they were supposed to do and are now back to the Sweet 16. So I thought if Purdue got to the – if they got to the second round, I thought they would get to the Sweet 16 because Clemson didn't really scare me. The ACC was really down. They're a good basketball team, but I think Purdue could have handled them. And then, as I said, you get McNeese in the second round, and sometimes those 12 seeds in the second round, they just don't last. And that's what we saw. They just didn't have the stamina to put up with a team like Purdue for 40 minutes.
Well, just statistically, you know, a 12 seed is there for a reason. If they do get the upset in the first round, that's not always an indicator of what's going to happen going forward. You know, they still are who they are, which is the 12 seed. And they also don't have a full week to prepare for the game. Yeah. It's now just, you know, actual talent kind of rules out, which is pretty typical in the NCAA tournament. And I think it fits the fans' narrative. We all want those upsets in the first weekend. But then after that, we want to see Duke Kentucky Classic in overtime, right? You know, that kind of game. And looking overall at this tournament, it pretty much is going to chalk overall. All four number one seeds are there. Three out of four number two seeds are still there. Arkansas is the only team seeded lower than six that's in this Sweet 16. So if you went with mostly favorites in your pool, you're probably still doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. Now, I have not filled out a bracket, Jim, two years in a row.
Wow.
Right. But what I would usually do is I would usually fill out one that was my kind of like my gut feeling. And the other one would be, I'm just going to go straight talk. So every higher seed would win. And more times than not, the one where I went straight chalk did better than the one that, and I don't know if that's just because I suck at doing the bracket or if it just ends up being, you know, usually a lot of times the higher seeds win, but yeah, like if you're a college basketball fan and you want to see the best teams competing, and we can talk about Arkansas being a 10 seed and being like the outlier in this situation. They also played in the SEC, which was, I don't think there's any question, they were the best conference in college basketball this past season. They've got seven teams in the Sweet 16. They were dominant throughout the course of the year. So even them being a 10 seed and getting to the Sweet 16 isn't maybe necessarily the biggest of surprises. It's just a surprise because of where their seed line is. But what's funny to me is we've kind of changed this narrative. And I think this is a one-year type of situation where all of a sudden, this is what people want usually, right? Like, they want the premier matchups. They want the best teams competing in the Sweet 16 with a chance to go to the Final Four. And what do they complain about? Weren't enough upsets, weren't enough buzzer beaters. And it's just kind of like, you got to pick your poison. You can't have your cake and eat it too. So I think people love those first round upsets. And we certainly didn't get those this year, but in terms of the Sweet 16, in terms of the quality of the teams, I think that you're going to have really good basketball. And I kind of get it. Like, let's say Derek Queen misses that last shot and Colorado State is in the Sweet 16. If you don't have a team in the tournament, all of a sudden, now you're behind Colorado State. Everybody wants that other team that they can pull for. So I think that's part of it too. But in terms of just like quality of basketball, it's going to be a really fun Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, in my opinion.
I think so too. And to your point about the Southeast Conference, Arkansas is a 10 seed. There are two six seeds, BYU being one of them. The other one is Ole Miss, also out of the Southeast Conference. But also, you know, speaking of the narrative, going into the tournament, Southeast Conference was the best conference in the country this year, okay? We could all concede that. What's fascinating to me is the narrative. First round, I think the Southeast Conference was like 8-6. Mm-hmm. So people use that, oh, they're not as good as everybody thought. And I believe the Big Ten was 8-0 in the first round.
Yeah.
So for a day, for 24 hours, you got to, well, maybe the Big Ten, 8-0. Well, it didn't take long, though, to get to the Sweet 16 and have seven Southeast Conference schools make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, it's just clear to me that this is, and this is what's funny to me, Jim. And I'm going to tie in. Usually we talk on this show about football. I'm going to tie in just a little bit of football because here's what's irritating to me. During football season, it was easily the Big Ten was the best conference in college football, right? Like everybody with two eyes could see that. And yet the SEC was pounding its fist on the table, trying to stake claim that it was still the best conference and that it got jobbed out of spots. Fast forward to basketball season. And the SEC is undoubtedly the best conference. And people in the Big Ten are like, yeah, yeah, they are. Willing to acknowledge that the Big Ten isn't as good as the SEC is this year. It's just like, to me, I've noticed that difference. Now, I'm on social media way too much, so that's probably just me, the only one that's noticed that. But that is something that I've kind of taken away from these last couple weeks during the, you know, comparing college basketball and college football and the fans and so on and so forth. But I mean, yeah, just the quality of the SEC, really the Big Ten. And I know part of it too is the fact that you've got like these teams, like the Big Ten's got 18 teams, the SEC's got 16 teams. Of course, it's, you know, they're going to be competitive. Of course, they're going to be good. Of course, those two leagues are going to have more teams in the Sweet 16 than anybody else. But I think for a majority of the season, like you had Florida, you had Kentucky in the SEC, you've had Auburn and Alabama, which have been fantastic. I still think Florida's a bit of a sleeper. Tennessee with Rick Barnes leading the way. Like they've just got so many good teams, so much high quality talent, a lot of good basketball coaches in that league. It's been really fun to kind of watch them. I'd probably go from like the third or fourth best conference in college. It used to be just Kentucky in that league. Maybe you would get a year where you'd get an Arkansas or an LSU or a Tennessee would come out and surprise you. But now all of a sudden you've got, that's a league that's 12 deep at least. And it's fascinating to me.
Well, a couple things. I'll give you I don't buy this. I don't believe this, but this is what the Southeast Conference fan will tell you in response to your football basketball comparison. Well, in basketball, it's obvious we were the best. Football, it's questionable.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that would be the discussion. But what it also is, Dustin, is you mentioned, you know, some of the coaches that are there in the Southeast Conference. It's these are schools making a commitment. And if you have a John Calipari going to Arkansas and you see part of him going there, and I can't recall the details, but I remember it at the time thinking, oh, wow. You know, his negotiation wasn't, gee, here, how much I get paid. It was, how much money am I going to have to spend on players? That was the discussion, Dustin.
Yeah, and it's changed the game so much. And I think that's a lot of people are saying that NIL and transfer portal is a reason. Now, this is a one-year sample size, right? Like, people are, over these lack of upsets, people are losing their mind. And it's like, have we, the great Stephen A. Smith and all of his infinite wisdom has said it's going to be the death of college basketball. And it's like, really, off of one year where the best teams win the games like they're supposed to. So like, and by the way, again, we were a buzzer beater away from Colorado State being in the Sweet 16. Like there's some interesting, I'll say, narratives out there about this, but there's no question that this has, the way coaches view certain jobs and the access they have to money. This is why a lot of people, like Buzz Williams has been a name that a lot of people think, oh, you'd go to a traditional basketball school like Indiana, or if the Kentucky job opens up, or, you know, XYZ. It's like, why? Texas A&M has more money than God. They can pay. They can pay anybody anything they want. So why would he leave? Like, he's in a pretty good setup right there. So that is such a motivating factor there.
I want to talk to you more about that, and we're going to do that when we come back.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out GoPSURV.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Dustin. We're talking basketball, college basketball, tournament basketball, which is always a lot of fun, Dustin. And when we last left in segment three, you're talking about how people are panicking. The game is changing. Stephen A. Smith is letting you know that the sky is falling. There weren't as many upsets in the first couple rounds as there had been in the past. And I think you made a great point. Such a small sample size 1 year. I get the argument that with money, you brought up Texas A&M as an example, and probably any Southeast Conference school or conceivably Big Ten school can find some money to invest into basketball. And I get the argument that, hey, if you're a smaller school and you're successful and you have a good player, you're going to get rated by the bigger schools. They'll take away your best players. But I think the other side of this discussion, Dustin, is in college basketball, remember for years Calipari at Kentucky, all his one and done freshmen, you know?
Yeah.
And some of the smaller schools may not have the same talent, but if they get guys to stick around for 3 or 4 years, if you have 4 21 and 22-year-olds on your team playing a bunch of 18-year-old freshmen, there's an inherent advantage. Now, you know, come draft day, it's all the 18-year-olds from Kentucky are the ones who are going to get drafted. But these 22-year-olds who've been playing together for the last 3 or 4 years, they can make themselves a pretty good run in the tournament. So I still believe, and in basketball as opposed to football, if I've got 2, 3, 4 good players, I can compete. In football, you need a lot more than that.
Right. And I think to that point, I think even if, regardless of if you have a team full of guys who have been in one system and are playing together and are a bunch of juniors and seniors, like one of the reasons, so two reasons why a lot of people liked High Point and McNeese is if you looked at their rosters, I think High Point had, it, among their like 10 to 12 guys that played a lot of minutes, they were all juniors and seniors. They had one sophomore and one freshman that played significant minutes for them. McNeese was full of guys who transferred in from bigger schools. So I think they had a kid from Baylor at one time. They had some other kid, maybe a kid from LSU. I don't remember the specifics, but they were full of basically transfers from bigger schools. So you, to me, it's a balance, right? Like, yes, obviously the best small school mid-major players are going to eventually probably transfer up in this new world, but you're also going to get some power five players that maybe they're the sixth or seventh man on, you know, for Indiana or Marquette, and they want to play in a starting role. So they're going to transfer to, I'm just going to throw names out here, Western Michigan or something, you know? And so you might get those sort of players. And if you get a team full of those guys and they gel well, you can still have the upsets. So I don't necessarily think like the transfer portal and all this is like, yes, the big time schools are going to get the best talent, but Jim, that was always the case. Like, I don't understand this argument. Like, has there ever been, it's the same thing with like college football. Like, you're just going to make the rich get richer. And it's like, well, there's never been really a closing disparity on Northwestern's never really competed with Ohio State. They might win a game, but in terms of the overall, stature of the program, those two are never going to be close. It's the same with the mid-majors. Like, Gonzaga is probably the only one that I can think of off the top of my head that went from a mid-major to like a power program. Like, that's a team you expect to get to the Sweet 16 every single year. I'm sure there's some, like, you can't even throw the Big East teams in there because they're in the Big East. But look, those are some smaller schools like St. John's, Villanova. They're not as big as like Indiana, Purdue, Penn State, but they have a strong basketball pedigree. So to me, that whole narrative is like, it's just 1 year. Like, let's relax and see what happens. If it becomes a problem over a 5 year span, then maybe we can have a conversation about whether or not it's healthy for the sport of college basketball.
And you have, you mentioned St. John's. St. John's brings in a coach like Rick Pitino, and all of a sudden it's a different world for St. John's. And, you know, you mentioned about now Penn State in the football world is one of the big boys.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's never been the case. You know, Penn State basketball is probably comparable to Indiana in football. And, but, you know, Penn State brought in a couple players from North Carolina, from Tennessee.
Right.
And, you know, to make them, before the injuries hit and all that, I think your Purdue Boilermakers found out how good the team, they may not be as deep, but there can be a pretty good team, and it doesn't take much to get there. And I think that's the exciting thing for basketball, is with just a handful of players. And, you know, if you're Gonzaga, you don't have your big donors giving to the football program, okay?
Right, exactly.
It's basketball, and it's the same way, you know, St. John's and Marquette and Villanova. So I think those teams, if they, and they do have the money to do it, put it into basketball, it's a lot smaller investment to make a really good basketball team to do the same in football.
Yeah, I agree, because you don't, like you said, you can get by if you have – if you have two really good players and then the other rest of your roster is basically role players, you can win a lot of basketball games, especially if there's experience there. In football, like you said, you've got to have 11 guys clicking and knowing what they're doing, because all it takes is one offensive lineman to miss his assignment and you've got a 13-yard loss for a sack, basically, right? Like, you can kind of cover it up on the basketball court a little bit. So I completely agree. And it wouldn't surprise me, Jim, if, and I know it's not the same, it's not the same Big East as what I grew up watching and what you grew up watching, but the Big East is a perfect example of a bunch of programs that there's not a lot of football investment there. Like, you've got Creighton, Marquette, Villanova, St. John's, Providence. You got a lot of different programs up in that mix that I think if you get some donors in there that can really splash up the NIL, that could be a conference that's really, really good and really feisty, because they don't have to compete with those other sports.
You're exactly right. And in the Northeast, St. John's is an example. I mean, and that can be a profitable program. You know, they are New York City's team.
Right. Yeah, we found that out. So one of the things we texted about, Jim, was you asked about, like, this is just a little anecdote here, but about like the fan whatever it would be, disbursement or however.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were High Point fans in that first game. They brought a ton of people, which was surprising to me. They outnumbered Clemson, Purdue, and McNeese. But in that second session, and then on Saturday, that arena, it might as well have been Madison Square Garden, because it was all St. John's.
It's St. John's is huge basketball, and some of it is tradition. You know, I gave you the story from 30 some years ago, but there was a time when the Big East owned NCAA basketball. And, you know, just a little background, I know I've talked about this, to our Penn State fan base or our listeners, but Joe Paterno wanted an all-East conference, an all-sports conference. The problem was the teams in the Big East, they valued basketball more than they did football.
Right.
So schools like Syracuse and Pitt, they were like, sure, let's join up in football, let Penn State carry us, but we are not going to let you, Penn State, crash this Big East basketball party that we have. There was one year, I believe late 80s, when the Big East had three of the final four. If I remember correctly, it was Georgetown, Villanova, and St. John's. Three of the four final four, and I believe that was the year Raleigh Massimino and Villanova won it all, beating Georgetown in the final. Perhaps, you know, I mentioned one game as one of the greatest in NCAA tournament history. That's another one, which was the final when Villanova upset Georgetown. And that, my friend, shows you how old I am.
I'm going to watch that ESPN 30 for 30 Requiem for the Big East today. It's just got me, it's got my juices pumping for that old league.
Oh, it was a spectacular league. And in the early 80s, I lived in D.C., and then I moved to Philadelphia. And it was like just times when Villanova was so good and Temple was so good. Yep. And I'll give you another quick story. But in that year where Villanova upset Georgetown in the final, and Georgetown had Patrick Ewing and just phenomenal team, I saw them play each other that year in the Spectrum in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
And Villanova played Georgetown even for like 38 or 39 minutes. They had no fear of Georgetown, where everybody else did. So it's why if you had followed Villanova that year, you didn't necessarily think Villanova would beat Georgetown, but you were not surprised that it was competitive because it was competitive during the season.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me too, and this is fast forward several years, it kind of reminds me of that time that Kemba Walker and UConn went on that rampage and won, I don't remember what it was, but they won the Big East and then end up winning the tournament. And throughout the regular season, I think they were a 3 or 4 seed that year. Like they were a good team, but I don't think anybody thought, yeah, this is a team that's going to win the national championship. Like they were just kind of, so they always, because that league was so deep, I remember such great battles. Like I remember growing up, like the Big East, as much as I loved the Big Ten growing up, the Big East tournament was the one I had to watch every single night, because I think too, it might've been a week earlier in the old days. It might've been on a week before the other tournaments, or maybe it started earlier in the week. I don't remember what it was. But that it was just such much watch basketball. You had such great basketball powers in there that I was tuned in and locked in every night. So like to your point about, you know, we'll bring this full circle. You going on a date instead of going to the tournament game. There were times my friends would be like, "Hey, you want to go out tonight?" And I'm like, "No, I'm staying here and I'm watching this tournament." Like it's not the same. I didn't have many dates in high school, Jim, but I did have some friends that, you know, were like, "What's this guy do? You want to watch basketball tonight?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm watching basketball for the next, you know, like 3 weeks. I'm going to be glued to my TV and my couch."
Well, I'm prepared to tell another story, but we're coming up against the end of the show. You know what, Dustin? Maybe one of these weeks during the off season, we just do like an old time college hoops show and talk about our memories of those different teams. That would be a lot of fun. Not just the Big East, but there was a time the ACC was so good. You can't imagine. All right, that's going to be the final word, Dustin. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out GoPSURV.com or call 800-519-8467.